name of Lord Jesus Christ, we continue. The Master hath come. The gospel basically is to pronounce this good news that the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, has come to mankind. So, before I go into deeper on each book, let's go back to Matthew first. Remember the theme of Matthew portray Jesus as King and His kingdom. Now, when you read the gospel, you have to ask yourself two questions. First, you have to ask yourself, why does the author record this event? Why? Jesus' life has so many details. He has done so many things. He has said so many things. But why an author in the gospel choose to put this incident or this speech into his book? Why he's trying to say? And then, secondly, what is the message? What is the message that you can learn when you read? Because the gospel is the fundamentals. If you want to know Jesus, you have to really know the gospel. Every day when we read the Bible, we should read the gospel personally. That's what I feel. Because we have to really directly learn from the word of Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if going back to the gospel of Matthew, emphasize about the kingdom of God. Let's turn to chapter 13. If you read the book of Matthew, chapter 13 is very important because it's talk about the parable of the kingdom of God. It's like, if you count all together, there are seven parables mentioned about the kingdom of God is like something. The kingdom of God is like something. What is this talking about? Chapter 13, the kingdom, the parable of the kingdom of God is to talk about the development of the church. The development of the church from the time of Lord Jesus Christ preaching the gospel to the end time. What will happen? For example, from verse 17, from verse 17 to verse 23, talk about the parable of the sower of the seed. We all know this story very well. The sower sowed the seed. Some seed fall on the ground. Some seed fall on the sideway. Some seed fall on the shallow field. Some seed fall on the good soil. It produced many, many seed, many, many fruits. It's to refer to the beginning of the kingdom of God when Jesus come to preach. He is the one who sowed the seed. And continue on. Many people who preach the gospel will sow the seed. But different people will receive it differently. But this is ongoing. And if you look from verse 24, chapter 13, verse 24. Next. Where did we stop? Somebody? Okay, next. So, this parable talks about the kingdom of God is like somebody sow good seed. But verse 25, what happened? At the same time, good seed is there. Verse 25. Yes, the weed will appear very early. As early as the good seed was sowed to the ground, bad seed, the weed, was also start to grow there. So what does it mean? Now this part is a prefiguration. I'm talking about from the very early days in the church, good teachings were preached by Lord Jesus Christ and the apostle, but the wrong teaching, the heresy, or the wrong teaching, wrong concept, or outside world philosophy, were also starting to infiltrate the church from day one until the end time, from day one. So do not be surprised that among the true church, among the apostolic time at that time, or even until today, The church is always being influenced by outside thinking. Wrong teaching, philosophy, always influenced by that. And that is a fact. That's why you will see sometimes you hear about, wow, why suddenly there's a new thinking come out but it's not from the Bible? Or why some worker preach something which is not recognized by the church? Or why some member are influenced, heavily influenced by some worker, and then his mind, his behavior totally change, and not the same. From day one, the gospel tells us, false teaching, just like the wheat being sown into the church, and there will be those who are being influenced. But God will not pluck them immediately, because if you pluck them now too early, what will happen? You'll destroy both. So go wait. You'll be there. It's there. But go deal with it. Not now, but later. If you read it on verse 31 and 32. Next. Continue. Okay, this is another parable. Talk about the parable of the mustard seed. The mustard seed is the smallest, but it grow become a tree, and the birds will have a nest on it. If you read commentary written by outside churches, they will say, "Oh, this is a good thing, right? The church develops so much, grow so big." But TJC, guided by the Holy Spirit, we understand this parable is not talking about the good development of the church, but rather it's talking about the bad development of the church. Why? The key is the bird. When you look at this chapter 13, the kingdom of God, the parable of the kingdom of God, is the same group of parables. So you must interpret everything with the same context. And the first parable, the bird, what does it refer to? The devil, the evil one. Chapter 13, verse 19, the evil one. So the bird in this set of parable is the bad guy. Is the evil guy who destroy God's work. So immediately it talks about the kingdom of God when we grow to a certain size, so big, that even become the nest of the birds. That means the church will become very big in size, and eventually the church is not guided by the Holy Spirit anymore. The Holy Spirit left the church, and who is in the church in charge? The birds, the evil one. That happened when I told you about the political situation. At the very beginning, Roman Empire, very stable, they don't mind Christian preaching gospel. After a while, they start to persecute the Christian because they think they are bad guys. They are making trouble. But after a while, one of the Roman Empire who is very famous, he became a Christian. Do you know his name? Constantine, yes. He became a Christian, openly confessing. Well, some people believe it is politically motivated, but whatever reason you want to put it, he became a Christian. And when he became a Christian, that means the whole Roman Empire, official religion, is no more pagan worshipping idols, but rather everybody have to believe in Lord Jesus Christ in this kingdom. That means immediately so many people become Christian. But of course, not everyone are truly Christian. And in the church, mixed with politics. Politics are the dirtiest things on earth. Toilet is not the dirtiest place. Right? I go to Africa, the toilet, wow. I see the whole, sometimes the toilet is almost full. There was one time, I remember going rushing the toilet, wow, the toilet is full, and all millions of the worms, the nuggets, pouring up.
很恐怖。But I still need to go, so I have to go. Try to be in the shortest time period, finish my business. But those are not the dirtiest place. The dirtiest place are politics. Wherever there are politics, the greed, the selfishness, dirty. So when church make with politics, the church become corrupt. So in the Middle Ages, no, the church mixed with the state, and the Pope with all the politicians, actually, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, become so corrupt. So this is fulfilling the Bible, saying that the church become the nest of the birds. Totally change of nature. If you continue to read on verse 33, next. Yes, you can read in French, please. Here tell us the parable of the yeast. The yeast is similar to the previous parable about the mustard seed. That is to describe the church has changed its nature. Because the yeast in the Bible represent bad things. So the church was corrupted. After the Holy Spirit left the church totally corrupt, like the yeast. But continue on from verse 44. 44, please. Okay, these two parables, the parable of the treasure and the parable of the pearl, is talking about the end time true church.
预表真教会, perfect prefiguration of the end time true church.
Even though the truth was lost under the past, the Catholic or the Roman Catholic or the church, they are so corrupt. But until certain time, Holy Spirit will descend again, establish the true church, and then the truth will be revealed to the true church. But the true church is so humble by appearance, by the number of people, by the ethnic group. So unless you really know it's there, you really know the value, otherwise you won't accept it. But if you know it, you accept it, you sell everything to try to grab it. That is to prefigure about the end time true church. The truth is like the treasure. The truth like the pearl. And you have to buy this treasure. You have to get it. Of course, we can spend 1 hour talking about the whole series of the parable. But I just want to emphasize one point is the kingdom of God started from Matthew. Actually, continue on. Is talking about a lot of things until the end time of the true church. Now, let's go back to a little bit about the book of John. Let's give you the theme verse. Okay, thank you. Please try to fall asleep, tell me I can give you some light. Okay, let's give you the theme verse, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 30. John chapter 20, verse 30. 30 to 31. Next, please. John 30 to 31. Chapter 20, verse 30 to 31. Okay, underline this verse, especially verse 31 is the theme of Gospel of John. He's trying to prove to Jews and Gentiles that Jesus is more than just a human being, but rather he's the Son of God. And if you believe in him, you will have life. So that's why John is having a perspective of an eagle. Wow, seeing through from a high places. If we study the book of John, there's one thing that we have to pay attention. It's called I Am. In the Gospel of John, you see a lot of recording begin with I am, I am, I am. There are two kinds of I am in the Gospel of John. The first one, we call it the absolute I am. I am in Greek is called ego in me. The Greek term is ego. That's why in English we borrow a lot of Greek term and Latin. Ego. We talk about that person have a strong ego, right? Ego means I. So ego in me in Greek is called I am. The first one is called the absolute one. When we talk about the absolute one, this means when Jesus said, I am, he is saying that I am God. I am the God in the Old Testament. First, we have to refer to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. The book of Exodus 3:14. Next, please. When Moses first encountered God, God sent him, God was trying to send him to Egypt, deliver his people out of the land of bondage. Moses asked one question, a very reasonable question, just like, God, what is your name? You sent me to do something, right? What's your name? Just like if I don't know you, what's your name? I thought to look at the name tag. You should be on the, have a name all the time. There's so many students here. I don't know who is who. So, if you bring a name tag or you introduce yourself, oh, I am so-and-so, right? But if some people ask you, what's your name? If you say, I am. Sorry, what's my name? I am. Sorry, what's the name? My name is I am. What is it? They say, wow, you must have some problem, right? Because nobody call himself I am. I am is not a name. It's a verb. It's a being, right? It's an action. But God in Old Testament was known as I am. Of course, God has a name, but he didn't reveal it to Moses. God just told him, I am, that I am. What does it mean? This is the verb, is that God was known by Old Testament. Actually, it just means that he's being there, he's always there. From eternal past to eternal future, God is there. So in the Old Testament, when people of the chosen people, Israelites, they talk about I am, then or somebody say I am, they know that that body tries to claim to be God. That's why in Bible it translates I am that I am. I am that I am. Now, when Jesus come to well, in book of John, he got a several times, he tell the people that I am. And see what happened. Chapter 4, verse 26. Chapter 4, verse 26. Next. John, no? Chapter 4, verse 26. John, chapter 4, verse 26. I am here. Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, but actually English translation add one more word, I am here, actually. Original language, they only say, I am.
And also please read chapter 8, verse 24. 8:24. Next. If you do not believe I am, because in English translation, if you just write like this, it's not grammatical, right? You cannot say, oh, you believe I am, I'm what? But in original text, Jesus said, if you do not believe I am, you die in sin. So Jesus is saying that I am, this means I am the one.
Wow.
Chapter 8, verse 28.
Once again, that he was not there is added just to make it grammatical. If you believe that I am, it just it doesn't mean you believe that I am the God mentioned in the Old Testament. And when he said that I am, people try to stone him. Turn to John chapter 8.
John chapter 8, verse 56 to 59. 56 to 59. Next. Yes. Jesus said, you forefathers, Abraham, were happily looking forward to me. Right? And people were surprised why Jesus said this. Because Abraham was a few thousand years earlier than Jesus. And how can you say, my forefathers are looking forward to see you? Right? You're not even 50 years old. But what did Jesus say? Before Abraham, what? I am. And then immediately people, what did they do? Grab the stone. This guy, you're blasphemy. You say that you are God. So stone him. So Jesus in John proclaimed that I am. So this is the first I am. It's the absolute I am. This means that I am God. I am He. I am the one in the Old Testament God. Chapter 3, verse 14 of the book of Exodus. The second kind of I am is a relative term. It's not the absolute. Jesus is using the relative term to describe his nature. We call it the relative I am, not the absolute one. In John, 7 times, Jesus said, I am something. First, let's turn to chapter 6, verse 35. 6:35. Next. Chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Just like manna, who came and satisfied the people. The true manna is not Jesus Christ. You know, summertime is a time for many young people to try to have fun or working summer job. But you make a good decision by coming to YTTC. Because learning the Word of God is really fulfilling. Maybe you were born into the church, you didn't realize the difference. No. Recently, I talked to a truth seeker in Toronto. He was from China. He was a professor of history, but really highly educated. In the past, he didn't believe in God. He was very successful, and he moved to Canada. And when he came to Canada, many people invited him to come to church. But he said, no, I have not played enough yet. Why go to church? So boring. So what did he do? Every weekend,
he would go to his friend's place to play mahjong. Mahjong, huh? How many of you know how to play mahjong? You know, right? Mahjong. It's a game, right? It's training your brain, reaction fast. But usually people gamble with it, all right? Nothing wrong with the game itself, but if you gamble, it's not good. But if you don't gamble, the game doesn't sound fun. So every weekend, he said, on Sunday, you take turn to go to different places, and then they bring some food. They play mahjong from 10 o'clock in the morning until 11 at night. Every Sunday. Because he thinks that that is the fun thing. Church? Boring. But after a long while, he discovered, what am I doing? Wasting all my life every Sunday just to play mahjong. There's no meaning behind it. Right? And the friend just play mahjong, they don't share anything. They don't share anything substantial. There's no soul inside this activity. And he's reaching almost his 60 years old. He feels quite depressed sometimes. Now there's some period of life that you easily feel depressed. Being middle-aged, one of the kind, because there's so much pressure, you can feel depressed. And sometimes in your age, you can feel depressed easily. But nowadays, everyone can feel depressed easily. There's no age limit. Because life is so empty without Jesus. So you think that, what am I doing? I'm wasting all the time playing mahjong on weekend. And he started to think about that. And his wife worked in one of our members' company. And our member invited them to come into church. And guess what? He started to come. When he started to come and listen to God's word, his heart is so touched. He said, wow, that is just like the treasure that we study in the Bible, saying that the hidden pearl, the hidden treasure. And now it's going to come to church every single week. And every week, he said, is the happiest moment when it comes to Sabbath. So because we were born in the church, sometimes we don't, if we're not really deep into searching the Bible or get close to God, you don't see the difference. But if you really get close to God, it's just like the bread of life fulfilling you. This morning, everybody, after the morning prayer, everybody ran down there and grabbed the bread. And I see you eating so happy, right? Because after the whole night, no food, the bread tastes so good. So, if you, the coming 3 weeks, you really focus learning the word, the gospel will touch you. You'll feel different. You'll feel satisfied. Secondly, let's turn to chapter 8, verse 12. Chapter 8, verse 12. Next. The second I am is I am the light of the world. If you don't have the light, you walk in darkness, you stumble. You get lost. You get hurt. Because you are in darkness. This world is full of darkness. I remember the first time I went to Africa more than a decade ago. Just one night, I have stomach ache. I really need to go to the toilet outside. And unfortunately, it's in a village. And the toilet is somewhere near the field. Even though it's a hole, it's still a toilet, right? I'm not supposed to be everywhere, doing it everywhere. Of course, for the small business, you can everywhere. But the big business, you have to, you cannot just do it everywhere, right? So I need to go to that place. But I don't have my torch, so I try to be guided by the starlights. Really scary. Okay, and I eventually find the toilet. I do my business, relieve myself, and I was very happy. And I try to go back to the hut that I was sleeping that night. But because lacking a torch is an incredible challenge in the darkness. And it turned out that when I go to the house, I saw a goat standing in front of the door. That really surprised me. Why is a goat here? When I left the house, there's no goat. But why? Going back, there's a goat in front of the door. And look closer. I rented the wrong house. My coworker was not there. I said, oh, now, Tamra. Big trouble now, Tana. Where's the house? Fortunately, I thought that maybe that house, the other side is the house that I was supposed to go back. So I walked slowly, really, really afraid that I stumble into another toilet or a hole. Eventually, I go back there, safely landed. So I really thank God I didn't get lost. But the story tells you, if you do not have light, you will get lost. Even though you think I'm very smart. No matter how smart you are, if you walk in the darkness, you fall. Right? You think you are very smart, you know right and wrong, but if you always hang out with the people who walk in darkness, you'll get lost. But Jesus is the light. Being a young person faces a lot of challenge, because there are a lot of choice in front of you. You can choose to hang out with different kind of people. You can choose to go different places. In your computer, you turn on your computer, it's a different world you can choose. Right? Nobody can control you anymore because you are a young adult. But if you have the light, you know what is right. If you follow the light, you will not fall. You will not hurt yourself. So Jesus is the light of the world. That's why you have to draw close to the light. Come to YTTC, definitely will help you to see what's the most important. Chapter 10, verse 7. Another I am. He said, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door of the also young the man. I'm the door of the sheep. And then verse 11. Next. Chapter 10, verse 11. Yes. Jesus said, I'm the gate of the sheep, and all, what does it mean? You have to go through the gate in order to go to the sheep. So Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the only way that can give you the access. And also Jesus is the shepherd who can take care of us spiritually. And also verse 11, chapter 11, verse 25. John 11, 25. John verse 11, 25, we start over again from this side. Aiden.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe in me? Will be my guide, keep the
word. Okay, Jesus tell Martha, I am the resurrection and life. So this is another I am. Even though a person is dead, but Jesus is the resurrection. Because Jesus is the life. He is the source of life. Who can save his life? In human history, no matter how great you are, what kind of philosopher or religion founder or great people, not even one in history is there to proclaim that I am resurrection and life. No one. Only Jesus. Well, of course you can proclaim it, but you cannot prove it. There's no point, right? Of course, a mentally ill person can proclaim it. But if we cannot prove it, doesn't mean anything. But Jesus proclaimed he is the resurrection and life. And then he resurrected Lazarus. And that is the thing amazing about Lord Jesus. To prove that he is more than just a human being. He's God himself. So this is very important. Continue on. Chapter 14, verse 6. 14, verse 6. Next. Jesus make it very clear here. I am the way, the truth, and life. These three are related. Just like this morning, we talk about the mediator. Or you talk about the cross. Right? How can man go back to God? There was no way, because the communication was totally broken. Totally broken. The enmity between God and human was so strong. But Jesus came. He himself hang on the cross, shed the blood, become the way. He brings the truth, and he just like the connecting the two lives together. So Jesus proclaimed, I am the truth, the life, the way. In human history, no one dared to say that I am the truth. Some philosopher may try to say some truth, which may not be totally true. Or maybe we can talk about the truth. For example, I am talk about the truth. I preach the truth. But no one can proclaim I am the truth himself, except Lord Jesus Christ. Why Jesus can say this? Remember which verse? Chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 14. Let's turn back to John 1, 14. This is a very beautiful, very wonderful verse. Jesus said, in John chapter 1, verse 14, the word what? Became flesh. Dwell among us. Bring grace and truth. So who was Jesus? He was the word. The word means the truth, the teaching. He become, no, not the teaching, the word is abstract. But when it become flesh, this means it become concrete. Become, you can touch it, you can see it, you can smell it, you can be close to it. So this is what Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the full manifestation of the truth. So wonderful. And then lastly, chapter 15, verse 1. 15 verse 1. Next.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
I am the true vine. This is the seventh relative I am. I am the true vine. And you are the branches. Every brother and sister here, we are the branches. This is to tell us that he is the source of life. If you don't join into him, you lose spiritual life. If you choose not to come to church for a long time, spiritually you wither, you die out. If you study in the place there's no TJC, maybe that school is a good school. But if after a long period of time you don't come to church, your faith will be very weak and be gone. If you choose to move to a city, there's no TJC, you may believe that, well, I can still do online Bible study, I can still listen to sermon. It's different. It's different. If you don't join service, if you don't join the church is the body of Christ, your faith will grow very weak, very fast. So that's why Jesus is a true vine. You have to connect to him. And that is very important. Throughout your life, I hope that you remember this. You can forget all the charts, you can forget all the maps, you can forget all the outline things, but I hope that you will not forget Jesus is your true vine. I hope that you will not forget Jesus is your shepherd. Nobody can help you when there is some point in your life, nobody can help you. Jesus is your shepherd. You should not forget Jesus is light. Maybe in your life there's some darkness, some moment of darkness. But don't forget, you still have the light. You can count on him. When you feel empty, when you feel void, when you feel there's nothing to gain in this life, so depressed. But don't forget, Jesus is the bread of life. You can be fulfilled if you come back to him. Right? So all this relative I am, actually it's not knowledge, it's really related to your personal life. So, in your exam, you have to remember the seven, the absolute I am, and the seven relative I am. That could be in your exam. So far I'm speaking too fast. Are you following all right? Or if I speak too fast, you can slow me down. Or is there anything? I know some brother and sister from Taiwan. Maybe my English is not very good or accurate with strong, strange accent. Anything you don't understand, you can 提醒我, or you can bring out a question. So far, any question? Am I going too fast? Anyone say I'm going too fast? Too slow? Anybody sleeping? Don't know what I'm talking about? Okay. So let me know if I need to adjust the speed. Now, besides the seven relative I am, the Gospel of John used seven signs. To prove Jesus is the Son of God. Only in the Gospel of John, the word signs were mentioned. Of course, in other Gospels, they use the term miracles or the wonders, right? Yeah. But in John, there are so-called seven signs that to prove Jesus, the divinity of Lord Jesus Christ. The first miracle, the first ever miracle Jesus performed, we all know where is it. Chapter 2. It was recorded in chapter 2. Chapter 2, in your Bible, in your margin, you can write down is sign number 1. Sign number 1 is John chapter 2. He transformed water into wine. That is the first sign.
Read verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory and his sovereignty.
Yeah, the beginning of signs, the first one. The Bible did not use miracle to describe this special event, but used signs. So it's the first signs. In these signs, why did the author choose to put this into the book of Gospel of John? You have to ask this question, right? And of course, if you understand this, you can answer. Because John tried to prove Jesus is Son of God, this divine nature, he can do something human cannot do. So first, this first sign tells us Jesus, he transcend material. An eagle fly higher than any other birds. So that's why he transcends all the other even flying birds. Not even talk about the animal in the ground. So how did Jesus transcend? First, Jesus transcends material. You cannot turn water into wine. Even the best ruler in the whole world cannot just put water into a bear or red rhino. You have to put yeast, you have to put sugar. But Jesus can instantly water
into wine.
To transcend material. The second sign, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 55. Next.
454.
Yes. Chapter 4, verse 54. There was no 55, sorry. Chapter 4, verse 54. Thank you. The second sign, Jesus healed the son of the officer. How did Jesus heal this son? He didn't even don't go there. He just used one word. And when the officer went home, he found out that he was healed. So this is to tell us that Jesus transcends space. Human beings, we were bound by space. You have to go there. For example, you have to physically go to see the doctor before he can heal you. You have to fly to go to that place, or you go to take a ride. But Jesus, he transcends space. He doesn't have to go there to heal you. Immediately, he sent his word, he said something, finished, done. The third sign, chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. Tells us that Jesus healed a paralytic. This man has been sick for how long? Chapter 5, verse 5, tell us he has been sick for how many years? 38 good years he was sick.
but Jesus healed him in one instant. So this means Jesus transcends time also. Even though you were very sick long enough, but 38 years means nothing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Time, he can transcend totally. The fourth sign, chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 14, he feed the 5,000.
This is the fourth sign. Jesus transcends quantity. He used 5 bread and 2 fish to feed 5,000. So Jesus transcends material limitation, the quantity. The fifth sign. Chapter 6, verse 16. Chapter 6, verse 16. The fifth sign. Jesus walked on the sea. Just to go walk on the sea and go to the boat. That human being cannot do, right? If you walk on the sea, you want to try to prove something, you get wet, you get drunk. Nobody can walk on the sea. But Jesus can walk on the sea. He transcends what? Physical principle. He transcends the physical principle, like gravity. He denied gravity. Totally. He was not sunk into the on the water. The sixth sign, chapter 9. Chapter 9. Jesus healed a man born blind. Chapter 9, Jesus healed a man born blind. What did Jesus transcend here? Jesus transcend destiny. Destiny. 命运. People cannot change their destiny. If you're born blind, you're always blind until you die. In those days. Even now. If a person born blind, it's very difficult to reverse the sight. If you're born without an arm, you cannot someday just have a new arm next day, right? You can put a, what do you call it? The blade runner. they call it. What is it called? The fake arm or imitation. But you cannot have a new one born out of your body. But Jesus can transcend your destiny. You cannot say, oh no, born unlucky, or my life is always a sad story. I born suffering. But Jesus can change your destiny. And then eventually, Jesus transcends death. The last sign, chapter 11. Chapter 11. Jesus raised the dead Lazarus. He transcends death. That is the most important transcending part, death. Overcome death. Throughout history, no one can even overcome death, no matter who he is, even though he's the founder of another religion. You know the founder of Buddha, Buddhism, Sakyamuni, right? Have you heard about him? So started religion. How did he die? He lived a simple life, he tried to tell people to do good stuff. He lived so simple, he was a prince, he lived so simple life, that even every day rely on begging the leftover food from other family. Sometimes the leftover food, they don't put in fridge there. They have no fridge. Spoil. So he ate the leftover food from begging and have sickness and he died. This is the founder of Buddhism. He didn't even survive sickness. But our Lord Jesus Christ is different. Even though people nailed him on the cross, he overcome. He was resurrected. And Lazarus dead for a few days, Jesus resurrected him. So these seven signs you have to remember. John is very important. The Gospel of John, I'm not saying that it's the most important Gospel, but it's a very special Gospel. Seven I am, seven signs you have to remember. Okay, let's pray in silence. Amen. Yes. The fifth sign?
The
first one?
The
third one transcending, you can say transcend time. Even you're sick for a long time, Jesus can fix your problem. You're welcome.
Open.
I didn't do anything with that. Why would I do that?
You hear it?
Nice.